Well, that's what we're doing as we kick off 2018. We're going to dig down, and Happy New Year, by the way. It's great to see you here. I know Eric's already said it, but man, we just consider it a privilege that you would start off the new year with us here at Cross Point. And whether you're here every single weekend, or you're here for the first time, or maybe you're here for Christmas Eve and you came back, I'm really excited that you would choose to, you know, start off the first weekend of the year with us here at Cross Point. My name's Kurt, by the way. If we haven't had a chance to meet, it's great to meet you this morning. And I'm really excited about what we're going to be diving into over these next 4 weeks, because you know, what we're going to be kind of looking at and discovering together, I really believe, is going to be game-changing for many of us. Because see, here's what I know about you, even though I may not know all of you. Here's what I know about every single one of us. You know, your vision, whatever you're looking at in 2018, is going to be your direction in 2018. So, you know, whatever it is you're looking for as you enter into this new year, that's where you're going to end up. And so what we're going to be covering, not just, you know, on our weekends over these next 4 weeks, which are going to be really important for you to be here each weekend, but also we're going to give you some things to do during the week. And these are some things that we're going to post in the app. We're even going to give you, you know, these in printed form as you leave today. Some things to reflect on, some things to even journal on. I'd encourage you to journal, even if you're not a journaler. I'm not a journaler, but there are certain times where journaling really helps me connect some dots. And we just believe that weekends, along with some individual things that we do during the week, are going to create a synergy and really allow things to take root in our lives. So I was recently driving down I-69 and toward Castleton. This is crazy to me. Have you noticed, you know, we can go through months of construction and add lanes and it still comes to a screeching halt. Have you noticed that? It's like, you know, how does that work? It's like three lanes versus two, and we're driving and it just comes to a screeching halt. And in this particular case, it was because there was an accident, and so, you know, everybody's kind of stop and go until we get up to where all the lights are, and we get up there, and there's a car in the, you know, in the ditch that's kind of turned on its side, and everybody, including myself, I'm rubbernecking by this point, right? I'm wanting to see what's going on, and before long, as I'm driving, I'm looking, and I end up on the shoulder, right? Because why? Where you look is where you go, right? I mean, it's just a simple principle in life. In fact, one of my friends was telling me with snowboarding, you know, same principle. You know, when you're learning, whatever you're looking at, that's where you go. Because where we point our bodies is generally where we go in life. And so this is what we want to dig into in this series. That's why it's called Drive, because we're going to be going after something in 2018, and we've got to figure out it's the right thing. So as you've thought about, you know, what you want in 2018, as you've probably spent some time reflecting on 2017, the good, the bad, the difficult, the beautiful. You know, the question that I want us to spend the next 4 weeks digging into isn't just, you know, where do you want to go in 2018? But before we get to that question, we really have to answer a different question, which is just, what do you want? You know, what do you want as we enter 2018? Because whatever it is you want, that's what you're going to be looking at, and that's where you're going to go. And so as we start the year, what is it that you want? Just think about that for a moment. What do you want in 2018? And as you begin to think about this, it's actually a pretty deep question, right? And what's fascinating is, it, you know, depending on your age, I mean, what you want now versus when you were 15 is probably different, right? Or if you're 15, what you want now versus when you're 25, or what, you know, as a 45-year-old or 65-year-old is going to be different. And what's fascinating is the older you get, the less what there is in that question, and the younger you are, the more what there is in that question. And yet every season of life, you know, we're going to answer that question, what do you want differently? And yet, if we're honest, in every season of life, there's always going to be something that we want. Now, what's fascinating about this question is there's a number of realities that make this really, really difficult for us to just, you know, kind of dig into. And so it makes it somewhat of a tricky question, because when I ask you the question, what do you want? One of the things that likely you didn't say out loud or blurt out, you know, or quietly to the person next to you, but probably you thought in your mind is you want your way, right? I mean, if we're honest, we like our way, right? That's one of the things we want in 2018. And what many of us have already learned, maybe some of us are in the process of learning still, or, you know, others of us are trying to teach our, you know, teenage sons and daughters, is that as long as you insist on having your way, you're probably not going to get what you want, right? Because, you know, we all can look back at a time when I got exactly what I wanted, and I insisted that I had to have it my way, and then I ended up in a place that I didn't want to end up. And so one of the things we realize is oftentimes when we get what we want, we actually don't end up where we want to be. It kind of gets in the way of us ending up where we want to be. And we all have a story probably to tell on this. A time where we kind of bullied our way towards something, or you know, bribed our way to get what we wanted, or we pushed our way, or we just had this big personality that kind of shaped or steered things exactly the way we wanted it to go. And we were adamant that we had to get our way, and yet we actually didn't get what we wanted. Second thing that makes this question, you know, what do you want, really tricky is, if we're honest, we want to do what we want to do, right? I mean, when I ask you the question, what do you want, you probably thought about a relationship, or you thought about a state of mind, or you thought about something, and kind of rolling around in the back of your mind, in the back of your desires, you just realize, you're like, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And here's what probably all of us have discovered at one point or another, that the more you do whatever you want to do, the less you end up where you want to be, right? I mean, when I was in student ministry, I had a student, I don't know, he was 13 or 14 years old at the time. I think his name was David, but I'll call him Dennis. So Dennis would say to me, he's like, Kurt, I can't wait till I'm your age and I'm an adult and I can just do whatever I want to do. And I'd say, well, Dennis, what are you talking about? He's like, well, you know, everybody's always telling me what to do, but you get to do whatever you want to do. And I'm like, that's not true at all. We were driving at the time. And I said, look, there's a speed limit sign right there. I mean, I can't just drive however fast I want to drive. I mean, I can, but there, you know, I have accountabilities in place. And he's like, he didn't buy it. And so he's like, I said, listen, you're old enough that you can do whatever you want to do, right? Nobody can make you do certain things. All we can do now is prevent you from doing certain things. He said, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, you know, the way society prevents people from doing certain things is something called prison, which is fascinating to talk about at student ministry level, right? But it's a reality. And yet, if we're really honest as adults, many times we just want to do whatever we want to do, right? That's what we want. And it oftentimes doesn't get us where we want to be. And so, you know, this is a tricky question. Now, another toxic question or kind of thing we have to consider when we ask this question, you know, what do I want, is this one. You know, we're drawn toward perpetual pleasure, right? And when I was, with this one, it's fascinating. The word pleasure, I was trying to come up with something different, because whenever we think of pleasure, what do you naturally think of? We think of what? Yeah, exactly. Binging on Netflix. That's exactly what you all were thinking in your mind, right? You know, he said it right over here. You know, sex. We think of sex. Well, you know, pleasure is way more than just sex. It's you know, we can have entertainment pleasures. We can have, you know, travel pleasures. We can have food pleasures. We can have alcohol pleasures. I mean, we want to be pleasured, and we'll do whatever we need to whatever degree we have to do it to crank it out to the degree that we can afford so that we can, experience perpetual pleasure. See, here's the thing, and we all know this, but here's the thing with pleasure. You know, the challenge with pleasure, even if it's legal, all right, is that it's addictive, right? Pleasure is addictive. And so we can get, even if it's a good thing, too much of a good thing. And so, you know, you get too much of a good thing, and it begins to lose its pleasure, or worse, it begins to control you. In fact, you know, what started off as maybe a pastime or a hobby or just something we enjoyed, before long, it begins to control us. And after a while, we begin to, you know, wish we would have never started that thing, or we wish we would have never repeated that thing that we repeated, because, you know, now we don't enjoy it at all because it controls us and it dictates our life. That's just the nature of pleasure. And here's another interesting one. Isn't it true that whenever we figure out, here's what I want, when do we want it? We want it when? Now, right? We want it right now. And we probably all could tell a story about a time where I had to have this right now. I had to have her right now, or him right now, or I wanted this job right now. And like, haven't high school reunions taught us anything? Like, if you've gone to a high school reunion or you've bumped into somebody from high school, and, you know, like it reminds you that it's a good thing that all your prayers didn't get answered in high school, right? Like ladies, you're standing there talking to that guy that you just had to have so bad. You wanted to date him so bad in high school, and you prayed to God, God, if you could just give him to me. And you're standing there like 20 years later, and you're looking at this guy, and you're like, it doesn't look like him, but I'm looking at his name tag, and it's like his name. And all of a sudden, he starts to talk, and you're like, oh, my word, that's him. But life has been really bad to him, right? And you're looking at him and you're just going, thank God I didn't get what I wanted right there, right? And so, I mean, this question, you know, what do you want, is really, really a tricky question. And then maybe the most painful one of all when we think about this question is when it comes to regret, right? Because, you know, regret, isn't it true that that many of our biggest regrets in life started with the phrase, I want? I mean, I want him, I want her, I want this, I want that, I want this job. And, you know, and now we wish we wouldn't have got what we wanted, and we wish we could go back and not say I do. or we wish we could go back and not sign the lease, or we wish we could go back and not move our family because we were chasing that job, or we wish we could, you know, go back and like break up just a few weeks earlier. And I mean, we got exactly what we wanted, but in the end, it wasn't what we wanted. And so this question, I mean, these five questions, I mean, this is a tricky question. What is it that you really want as we enter 2018? So I want to help us kind of dig into this morning, and because we have to be careful what it is we're looking at and going after, because that's where we're going to end up. And so maybe you've heard of a guy by the name of C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis was a British author. He wrote a lot of small books. I love small books, but his books are small and they're hard to read, so they take forever to get through these little small books, because it's like you can read two pages at a time, then you got to put it down. And so now if you're a cynic or a skeptic, or you're not somebody of faith, you're going to love C.S. Lewis, because he didn't grow up in faith. He didn't grow up going to church. He didn't grow up going to Sunday school. He was actually an agnostic, maybe even teetered into atheism. And so, you know, he was not a Jesus follower until his adult years, and so he has really fascinating insights on the whole faith thing, because he didn't grow up in it. And so one of his great insights was on what hell is like. And so he wrote this book called The Great Divorce. And some of you are like, well, there's no such thing as a great divorce, to which you're right. All right. And people actually wished he would have wrote this book and named it something differently, but he didn't. And so, you know, because nobody picks up a book called The Great Divorce. Wow, sounds like some easy reading I'll do tonight, right? It's just not something you're going to sit down and read. And yet it's a great little book. And basically this book is on what hell is like, his version of how he came to understand hell. And so he basically strips away all the medieval references and all the revelation imagery that kind of gets us confused, and, you know, Satan running around chasing people with a pitchfork and all that. There's none of that in his book. It's his version based on the context of life he's experienced. And it was basically set back in the Second World War. That's when he wrote this. And him seeing all the destruction and all the carnage all around him as he lived through the Second World War. And so here's what he kind of paraphrased. His version of hell was a place where everybody got everything they wanted simply by thinking about it. To which you're looking at that going, well, Kurt, that would be heaven. I mean, that would be awesome. Well, no, he says that's not actually awesome. That's actually hell. That's what hell looks like. And so in his book, he kind of teases this out, and he gives us a picture of what society would look like if we just got everything we wanted simply by thinking about it. And so he describes this as a place where nobody can get along, because you don't need anybody, because you can just think about it and boom, it happens, you have it. And so in this book, hell is kind of this sprawling city where, you know, people just kind of move, you know, further and further away from each other and interact, you know, less and less and less, because nobody can get along, because they can simply have what they want simply by thinking about it, and so they don't need anybody. And he says, that's hell. And so many times we think, if I could just have exactly what I wanted, that would be heaven. But he says, no. That's actually more of a version of hell. Which is kind of what I want us to think about as the backdrop of us asking this question today. What is it that I want? What do you really want? So for the rest of our time, I want us to look at a guy by the name of James. All right, James, we find James in the New Testament part of the Bible. And James, fascinating thing about James, he's the brother of Jesus. All right, and I don't want to slide by that too fast, because whenever we look at James, we have to remember how significant it is that he's actually a leader in the church. All right, because he wasn't like a leader. He didn't follow Jesus in the early days. So if you're not a Bible reader, a person of faith, you're going to kind of like James, all right, because he didn't follow Jesus at the beginning. He kind of shows up late in the game to the whole faith scene. And he thought his brother was crazy. He thought his literal brother Jesus, they shared the same mother. They're like brothers from the same mother, Mary. Right? And so he thought his brother Jesus was crazy, off his rocker, as most people did back at that particular time. And so James doesn't become a leader in the faith till later on in the first century. And it wasn't because he followed Jesus around, his brother around, writing down everything he did, or, you know, paying attention to the parables. He wasn't paying attention at all. He kind of blew him off. But there was something that James declared, and it's absolutely crazy when you think about it, what he said, but he declared that his brother, his literal, physical, earthly, biological brother, get this, was actually his Lord. All right, so think about how significant that would be for you to actually admit that your brother, you were going to bow down to him as your Lord, all right, submit to him. All right, so this is big, the fact that James actually comes to this place, and he says, basically, the thing that made the difference is that Jesus, you know, his brother, predicted his death and resurrection, and then he pulled it off. And he's like, man, if he can do that, then he must be who he says he is. All right, so James is the brother of Jesus, and he writes this letter to all Christians. And in this letter, he dives into this thing of what we want. All right, and so, and he talks about how tricky it is to kind of navigate through what we want. But he asks a different question, or kind of starts his conversation at a different place. So here's where he starts it. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Specifically, what's the source? What's the origin of the fights that we have? And basically, what he boils it down to is that we want what we want, right? We want our way. He says, basically, there's something that you want, and when you can't get what you want, guess what happens? That begins to spill out into the lives of other people. And so he says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that, look at this phrase, battle within you? So he basically says there's a war that's going on inside us, deep inside of us, in the background of our heart, the background of our minds, and it's this war of wants. There's certain things that we want. There's certain things that we want from other people. There's certain, you know, things that we want people to respond to in a certain way, right? There's certain things we want to have. And he says, as a result, there's kind of this internal, you know, unrest or this warring inside of us, and eventually that spills out into people in our lives. And so he says, all this tension that you have in your life, all that marriage tension that you have, all the tension you have with your adult daughter or your daughter-in-law or your son-in-law or mother-in-law, whatever it is, he says the source of that is ultimately that somebody else isn't getting what they want and you're not getting what you want, and as a result, there's conflict. And so I want to give you kind of a cool little tool, all right? This is kind of a cool habit you can do when you're arguing, all right? And I'd recommend, you know, this would be good to use when you're arguing with somebody. Maybe you're like a family member that you have a little more emotional margin with, you know? And so what I want you to do is right in the middle of the argument when it's like back and forth, he said, she said, he said, and she shoots back, I want you to just stop and I want you to go, you know what the problem is right here? And use your pointer because, oh, it makes them feel so good when you point at people when they're arguing with you, right? Go, you know what the problem is right here? I'm not getting what I want. And the other person is going to go, aha, see, I knew it. And then you can go, but see, you're not getting what you want either. All right, and so I thought it would be fun if we just practiced this morning, all right? So go ahead and take your pointer finger out. Just go ahead and, oh, okay. So see, this is what happens as soon as we get pointers. People start pointing at each other. Like spouses are like, you know, they're going, I want you to argue with me, all right? Don't point at your spouse. I want you to argue with me this morning, all right? So point your finger at me, and I want you to say, you know what the problem is? No. Okay, that's not how you argue. All right, there's like passion when you argue. All right, now, and trust me, this is going to work for you. All right, so everybody get their finger ready. All right, get your finger ready, and everybody repeat after me. You know what the problem is? There you go. I'm not getting what I want. Man, you guys are good. See, now we're getting somewhere. All right, now we're getting somewhere. So this is what James is talking about. He's saying all the quarreling, all the arguing, the source of that is that you're not getting what you want, and the other person isn't getting what they want. Now, for some of us, it goes a bit deeper than that, and you're actually right. You're thinking, well, Kurt, it's not just that I'm not getting what I want. I'm not getting what I deserve, right? But if we think about it, isn't what you deserve really what you want? And so James is actually right here, right? It all boils down to all the quarreling, all the arguing boils down to I'm not getting what I want. Whether it's legitimate or not legitimate, the source of all fighting is we don't get what we want, and there's an internal tension, a warring of the wants inside of us, and that begins to spill out into the lives of people around us. So his whole point of saying this is this whole idea of what do you really want? It's a really tricky thing. What are you looking at? What are you going after? It's really tricky to figure out what that thing needs to be. And then he goes on, he talks about desire. He says, you desire or you want, but you do not have. In other words, you want something that you don't have. And so look at what he says. He says, so you kill. And you're like, oh, whoa, we're not going that far. Maybe some of you are thinking of going that far. But most of us check out right there, right? But see, he's writing an hyperbole right here, which hyperbole is like where someone makes a grand statement to get your attention. You know, it's bigger than what the issue really is. And the reason we know this is he's not writing to a specific person right here. All right, he's not even writing to a specific like group of people in a city. He's just writing generally to Christians. All right, but here's what's fascinating. He may not be that far off with what he says right here, right? Because anybody who's committed a murder, if you've ever talked to them, I've talked to a lot of them. I used to do prison ministry at Pendleton, you know, every Friday night. Talked to a lot of guys that have committed murder. And they would tell you the reason I killed somebody was because I wanted something. And so James is basically saying, hey, this thing can actually lead to killing someone. We're not going to quite take it that far. Let's think about this, though, in the context of our relationships. I bet every single one of us have actually seen someone want a marriage to death, where someone in that marriage wasn't getting what they wanted, somebody wasn't getting what they thought they deserved, and so all of a sudden there's pressure and expectations and pushing and expectations and more pressure and more expectations is heaped on, and all of a sudden somebody leaves because they weren't getting what they wanted, because they love that marriage to death. We probably all think of desires or wants kind of ruining or killing an opportunity, whether it's a business deal or a sales transaction or, you know, just securing that big account or, you know, a college opportunity, whatever it is. I mean, we've all seen politicians out of desires and wants kill their political careers. We've seen athletes, you know, jaded, you know, at least publicly for the rest of their lives because of their desires and their wants. Maybe we could go on and on and on this. And what James is trying to help us see is we have a hard time figuring out what we want. We have all these desires going, all these appetites, all these things that we say we want. And if we don't have the ability to harness that in and to kind of say, okay, here's what I think I want, but what's the deeper thing that I want? And and the ability to look at the background of our heart and the background of our mind and what's my deeper desire, that if we don't have the ability to kind of dig into that, then you have the potential and I have the potential to actually destroy things that are most important to us. Then James, he goes on. He says, you covet. And we don't use the word covet very much, but that means to pursue or to pursue intently, to like be pushy after something. He says, you just keep asking and asking and pushing. And sometimes my kids are that way. They just ask and ask and ask. That's what it means to covet. He says, you covet, but you cannot get. He says, at the end of the day, we get what we want, but we realize it's not what we really want. We get what we want right now, but it's not what we really want. We get what we want right now, but it ruins the relationship. We get what we want right now, but it doesn't really satisfy the way we thought it was going to satisfy. So James says, you covet, and you pursue, you chase after it, and you push, and you push, and you push, and you ask, and you don't have what you want, so you end up quarreling and fighting. Start blaming. You're like, oh, if she would have done this, and if he would have done that, and we get that finger out, we're like, oh, if you would do this, and, you know, if the president would only, and if the governor would have only done this, and if my boss, and if this church, and, I mean, we start, you know, blaming and looking out, and so here's the summary of where we are so far, right? Getting what we want can be a problem, right? It's tricky to figure that out. James says, if you don't get what you want, then you start quarreling with each other, right? And so this is why this series we're kicking off is called Drive, because you and I, we're looking at something as we start this new year. And wherever we're looking, that's where our lives are going to begin to go. So we've got to figure out what is it that we really want to go after in 2018? You know, as I look back at my life, you know, over the years, I mean, as far back as I can remember, I mean, I prayed prayers like Barry, you know, in that Goldberg's clip. You know, God, if you just give us a snow day, you know, I'll be good the rest of my life. And I mean, I prayed stupid prayers that I am so glad did not get answered, right? But I mean, in the moment, we were like, I know exactly what I need right here, right? God, here's what you need to do. And I mean, I think back to when I was 16, and I mean, if I would have got what I prayed for, I would have been driving a Ferrari and dating Christie Brinkley, right? I mean, that's what I'm like, God, if you do that, I will follow you the rest of my life, which we all know how well that would have turned out, right? So I can look back and be thankful that I didn't always get the prayers answered with what I thought I wanted. And so here's what I want us to see today. And so if you've kind of faded off, you know, for a bit, I mean, I want you to kind of hone back in with us for a moment as we wrap up. Here's what I want us to see. And this is for all of us. It doesn't matter if you're a religious person, if you're a person of faith or not faith, and you're just here trying to figure the whole faith thing out. This is like for the whole human race. See, most of us, we don't know what we really want because we're distracted by what we want. Let me say that a little differently. We don't know what we really want because we're distracted by what we desire, right? What our appetite is. In fact, most of us, see, here's the thing. Most of us, we don't know what we really want because we've not stopped long enough to actually figure out what it is that I really want. And if you don't stop to figure out what you really want, you're not going to get what you really want because nobody else is going to figure it out for you. And so that's why I said at the beginning, it's going to take some time, and it's going to take us doing some individual work, because time plus intentionality actually gets us somewhere, all right? Because, see, you can spend your whole life, and listen, I've talked to people. I've been in the death, the room, on somebody's deathbed, when they've spent their whole life trying to figure out what they really want, and they still didn't know what it was. And so this is what I want us to discover together over these next 4 weeks, because, there's a realm that Jesus was constantly trying to get us toward. Right, constantly trying to get us into. In fact, with his disciples, he was constantly funneling their thoughts and their thinking toward this deeper realm beyond just what I want. Right, and it's fascinating because Jesus understands that what we think we initially want isn't really what we want. There's a deeper realm. There's a kind of a whole different component that we just don't get into because we don't take the time to wrestle through some of these things to figure it out. And so, to that end, here's how James kind of wraps up this discussion. He says this. It says, you do not have, and I've added the phrase, what you want right there. And you got to be careful adding to James, what James said, because, he's the brother of Jesus. But I want you to kind of know what we're talking about right here. He says, you do not have what you want because you do not ask God. And so there's two responses to that phrase right there, all right? The first, answer would be, well, I don't have what I've asked, I don't have from God what I want because I've not asked God. I mean, it's kind of like your kids, right? Your kids come up to you and they're like, they want something. And you're like, well, why didn't you just ask me? And they're like, well, Dad, if I would have asked you, I know it would have been like an absolutely not. And so, James is saying one of the reasons you don't have is because you haven't asked God for that, which we say there's no way in the world I'm going to ask God for that thing because I think he'd say absolutely not, which may give us a little bit of a hint as to if we're asking the right things, right? And so the other response here is where we go, yes, I have asked God. And he hasn't come through for me. And so, James says something right after this, which is really profound, right? It really kind of explains this for us. He says, you do not have because you do not ask God. And then he goes on, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Now, what's fascinating right here is this whole phrase, wrong motives, is interesting because there's actually not a Greek equivalent for that phrase. Anytime this passage is translated into the English language from the original Greek language, there's difficulty translating that phrase because there's not really an equivalent phrase to wrong motives. So I want to give you kind of the literal translation, or as close as possible, what the word actually means there. It's a little awkward, it's a little clunky, it doesn't read real well, but I think it'll help us see what James is actually saying right here. He says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask badly. He says, you ask wrongly, you don't ask correctly. And it's not necessarily a motive thing right here. Right? It's the thing that we're asking. He's like, what you're telling God that you want? He says, it's almost like, this is what we're talking about here. He says, it's like, if I could just get A, B, and C, or if I could just get X, Y, and Z, or if you'd give me him, or if you'd give me her, I'd have exactly everything I want. And so James says, when you ask, the reason you don't get what you want is because you ask badly, you ask incorrectly, and you spend what you get simply on pleasures. Now here's what's so insightful about this. See, James right here, he's referencing our wants here, and he's saying the things we're asking for in many cases serve no other purpose than to temporarily satisfy a want. He's saying the thing that we often are asking for, the reason God is not providing that is because it's simply just, temporarily satisfying something, and God wants so much more for you. So your Heavenly Father wants so much more for you. So you actually have a Heavenly Father. That's what the New Testament tells us, that God is referred to as our Heavenly Father. And he actually wants something for you, not something from you. See, this changes our paradigm when we think about it this way. Just like any good earthly father. I'm not saying all of us had fathers this way, but if you had a good earthly father, your dad, or he wasn't out there trying to extract things from you. He actually wanted things for you. See, God wants something for us right here. And so lurking beneath, this whole realm of what we want, kind of this deeper level Jesus was always trying to get us into is what we value. What's that thing that's really important? And so for the next 3 weeks, we're going to explore this question. What is it that we value? Beyond what we want, what is this thing that we value? And so this is why, you know, as we start 2018, I want to ask you to, you know, start processing, spending some time. We're going to give you some questions, you know, and I want you to dig in. What do I want? And write it down. Spend some time journaling. When you write, your brain functions differently, and you begin to you know, see different things and process differently than when you just sit and reflect. So what do I want? Write it down. Well, why do I want that? Okay, well, here's why I want that. Well, why do you want that? Well, because X, Y, and Z. Start writing it down, and eventually you're going to sift through to get to what you really, really value. All right, and so this is why this is so important, all right? Because wherever you want to be, if you want to get to that place, you're going to have to get to the deeper realm of what is it that I value, because that will get you to where you want to be. And you can spend your entire life, as many people do, going after things that seem to be the thing that I want, but they don't get us to the place that we want to be. So here's what I want us to do this week. I want you to take out your connection card. On the back are some next steps. And the first step is just saying, hey, I'm going to return next weekend. You know, I encourage you to be here every single weekend to, you know, whether it's Sunday, Thursday, I mean, sleep in on Sunday, come on Thursday night. I had somebody on Thursday, you know, one of my guys from my men's group say, hey, I couldn't be here Sunday, so I wanted to start the new year off being, you know, focusing on what God wants for me in the new year. That's a great way. Make the first month of the year a focus of pursuing what God wants for you, all right, whether it's Sunday or Thursday. Second next step is, you know, we're going to give you some questions. All right, we're going to give you some questions for reflection. They're in the CrossPoint app, and we're also going to give you a handout when you leave today that have these on there as well. We want to make this as easy as possible. But see, here's the thing. Many of you were writing things down this morning. Maybe you're taking screenshots of things that we're putting up on the screens. It's funny. I used to think everybody's taking a photo of me. I'm like, oh, should I smile? You're like taking photos of the screens, right? And so, which is very cool. But see, here's the thing. It's going to be a total waste of time for you to do that. Unless you dig in to the questions this week that take it deeper than what we've just talked about today. All right, because nobody can figure this out for you. You're going to have to figure it out. It's going to take time, and it's going to take intentionality. And when you do those two things, you're going to get to where you really want. All right, that's what we're trying to help you do, is to get to the place that you really want to be. So in the app, under this week, there's some reflection questions. You'll find these five questions. You'll find them on this card that you receive when you walk out of here today. And I just encourage you to spend some time. I'm not a journaler, but I'm going to be journaling on these. There's seasons in my life where I journal because I get different revelations when I journal than when I just think through things. All right, and so spend some time. You don't have to share your answers with anybody if you don't want to. All right, but if you want to get to that deeper thing of what is it that I really value, I guarantee you that will help you get to the place that you want to be. And you'll begin to see what God values. We believe God works with this in this process. All right. And so we want you this to be the best year yet for you. That's what we're hoping for. That's why we're doing this series. Whenever I, you know, write somebody a birthday wish or a card, I always say, man, I hope this is the best year yet. That's my prayer for you this year, is that this is the absolute best year yet, because you can get clear on where it is you really want to go. And when you begin to look at that, that's where you're going to be. All right. So we're going to have some fun. We're going to try to make it entertaining and enjoyable. But at the same time, at the end of the day, you're going to have to do some of the hard work of digging down into these questions and figuring out what is it that I want. Because nobody's going to figure that out for you. Only you can do it. All right, so let me pray for us. Let's stand, and I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to sing one more song and get out of here this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for allowing us to have some time to reflect. We thank you for James, brother of Jesus, who wasn't a person who was real easily convinced, and yet we thank you that he began to see who Jesus was, and he gave us this great, great picture of the tension and the difficulty of wrestling through the question of what is it that we want. And God, I just pray that over these next few weeks, God, that we'd get clarity on this. I think we'd all agree that the source of a lot of our quarreling and fighting is that we have a warring of wants. And when we don't get what we want, we argue. But God, we want to go deeper than that. We want to dig deeper into getting past the desires and past the appetites and really digging in and saying, okay, God, what is it that I value? And God, what is it that you value for me? And how can I begin to live out of that? And we know that when we get there, God, we're going to have one of the best years yet. So God, help us to see things over these next few weeks we haven't seen. Just open our hearts up to what you want to do. I just pray that we'd have some unique encounters with you. And God, give us the courage and the time and the space to dig into this week. And we just pray these things according to your reputation, Jesus, in your name. All right, so your vision for 2018, where you look, that's where you're going to go. All right, so we're going to sing a song that kind of gets us at a high altitude and pins us to this and pins us to God on this. Let's sing together.